Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about, what it means to run a large organization during this interesting time that is COVID-19, particularly, just some thoughts around technology investment. And we are joined by, one of the leaders in South Africa's technology space, that is Lillian Barnard, who is the managing director for Microsoft South Africa. Lillian, greetings to you.
Good morning, Mudiwa, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me today on your show.
No. Thank you for taking your time for, for joining us. Now, I think we all, in one way or another, have interacted with Microsoft in some way, whether you're using, Office 365, or whether one is, using the Teams, which has, gained in popularity with all the video conferences that are now, taking place. Could you please, I guess, as a point of departure, maybe give us, an idea of what the demand has been for some of your products? I do understand that you guys are making the technology available for people that are trying to help with working from home, perhaps some health initiatives and education. But in terms of actual demand on the business side, what is that looking like for your various products? We keep hearing about how the drive to work from home or to work remotely has actually driven up the demand for tools like Office 365, Teams, and stuff like that. Because I understand that you might not be able to tell us what's going on specifically in South Africa, but maybe you can give us an idea of whether, how South Africa is actually, how the South Africans are stacking up to what you guys are seeing in the rest of the world in terms of demand for the products.
Now, thank you for that. We've seen the pace of digital transformation accelerate. And there's been a demand for all our products, and I will give you some global numbers. And I mean, whether you talk about Teams, Office 365, Windows, our Power Platform, Dynamics, Xbox, Azure, there's been literally a demand across the board as people continue to work, learn, and connect from home. And maybe just to share some numbers specifically with regards to Teams, and these numbers are actually quite staggering. So in April, since April, we've actually seen more than 200 million Teams participants in a single day. Just think of that. And the 200 million Teams participants have generated 4.1 billion meeting minutes. We've also seen globally about 183,000 educational institutions relying on Teams, to continue, education. And also from a healthcare provider point of view, we've seen, 34 million Teams meetings just being done in the healthcare fraternity. And on a daily basis, we see, daily active usage sits at around, 75 million. And these are huge numbers. And I think, and you will find actually the following quite interesting, that Accenture, who is, a big user of Teams and always has been, they have surpassed 500,000 users within their company. So right now in Accenture, they have about 500,000 plus people using our platform. And that's just staggering. I think it's just amazing when you see the power of technology and how we are, continue to do work, continue to collaborate, continue to be able to connect and, be able to, deliver on our work deliverables on a daily basis. In fact, currently we have 93 of the Fortune 100 companies are actually using Teams. And of that, we have about 20 customers who have more than 100,000 employees using Teams. And these numbers are just, amazing. And when we say that, technology is an enabler and it truly empowers, I think this is perhaps, a case in point.
In the past, when I've, just talking to you in the past, you've always been an advocate of your partnership network here in South Africa. What type of support have you guys sort of had to perhaps give during this time because of that, increased demand? Have you found that your local partners have been able to meet the increased demand, or has Microsoft had to step in some regards to perhaps help to support all of these working from home, all of these transitions that companies around South Africa are making towards more digitalization and working from home and the remote working, making sure that all of those systems are in place?
Oh, absolutely. At Microsoft, we absolutely believe that partners make more possible. And we have seen that again, in this COVID period, how together with our partners, we have delivered for our customers. And maybe just to mention, the free training for educational institutions, we've done that in conjunction with some of our partners. And just to name a few partners, such as Argentic, Decision Inc., Mint, MOOC Learning Technologies, Moyo, and a few others have literally come to the party and said that, listen, we will partner with you to provide the training for free. A lot of partners have helped us, switch on customers to use Teams, because remember, most of the stuff actually was done almost literally overnight, where, just yesterday we were in the office and today we were asked, to work from home. And our partners have just been really amazing and, in all their efforts, making sure that we deliver, the highest quality of services to our customers. And maybe just to talk about some of the innovation that was delivered with our partners, because we've seen, innovation, literally everywhere. And for example, just to maybe mention one example with, two of our partners, and we have a big initiative called, partner to partner, initiative where partners get to work together to deliver something much bigger for our customers. And Mint Group, one of our partners, as well as another partner named Pula Kisar, have developed a solution called COVID.AI. And what this solution basically does is that it actually revolutionizes screening and testing to help, curb the spread of COVID-19. And it uses a mobile app that actually enables our in-field screening. And it's also connected via Bluetooth. So what you can basically do with the app, it enables, geotagging, and you can therefore provide one-on-one citizen mapping, to their medical information, location, and screening data. And we've just seen our partners even coming up with a lot of innovation using some of the technology platforms that they have to make sure that, they work, with us, our customers, as well as with government to answer the call.
I'm actually happy to say that I know Pulukisa, and I've actually met Dr. Raymond Campbell. Spoken to him, very passionate about using technology and specifically Azure, to enable, the technology that they have. But I want to also then switch, to another partnership. A few weeks ago, we actually had, Cathy Smith from SAP, on the podcast, just talking about, their technology, investment during this time. And I understand that you guys actually had a partnership with them, before the lockdown came into effect. And my question then is, how does COVID or the lockdowns actually affect, such agreements? Because I think, perhaps going into it, you didn't realize that there was going to be this quote unquote disruption. Is this something that, has helped such partnerships or has sort of made, the implementation of some of those things a bit tougher?
So, yeah, we actually announced, I think it was the 3rd of March, our partnership with SAP. In fact, what we've basically done in the local market, Mudira, we've just amplified the global announcement that was made last October, and that is that Azure will become SAP's preferred cloud platform. And what we're hoping to do for our customers is to make sure that we actually simplify, decrease, complexity as well as the risk, as customers actually move very complex systems through to Azure. So we were already moving at quite an accelerated pace. And as you can imagine, when COVID came about, we actually had to reprioritize a bit to say that, we had to put our employees first, we had to put their safety first in terms of working in a very different mode. You know, when lockdown level 4 came into existence, we were classified as essential services. So we are making progress. Of course, if we were still, you know, working in a normal mode, it would have been much faster. But luckily, we are technology companies that we can still deliver, you know, effective work in a remote fashion. And I think I'm quite excited, to be honest, about this partnership. And this will be done in conjunction with our global network of SIs, where we will actually provide our customers, you know, with unified reference architectures, roadmaps, market-approved journeys to make it easier for them, you know, to migrate to Azure. And it's about making sure that we give our customers an opportunity to innovate and also, especially at this time, unlock new business opportunities, because that is actually what the power of the cloud actually brings to the table for our customers.
As we sort of come to the end of this conversation, I want to perhaps get into your thoughts around education at the moment, because technology has been one of those things that has been the backbone of trying to enable technology during this time. A lot of remote learning that's being done. You mentioned earlier on the more than 100,000 educational institutions that are using Teams to conduct lessons and stuff like that. And one other organization in South Africa that's really been making a lot of investment in terms of, you know, online education and, you know, some of these using technology for education is Vodacom. So can you, you know, tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. I must tell you, we were just so super excited about this announcement, because it actually brings together two partners who are leaders and have a longstanding commitment with education in South Africa. And, you know, as Microsoft, we always had a bold vision for education. And, you know, we've always worked, you know, with educators, you know, by allowing them to reimagine how technology can modernize learning and improve learning outcomes. So what we have done together with Vodacom is that we have created a connected digital education solution to make sure that we address the short-term need of enabling virtual classrooms, but even more important to equally focus on the long-term need to transform and transition education. Through this partnership, we will make sure that we equip learners actually with technological fluency, high-level skills, knowledge, as well as an agile mindset, which will embrace, you know, things such as innovation, creativity, complex problem solving, because all of these skills are identified as skills needed for future employability. And from a solution point of view, what we are providing is access to cost-effective data through the Vodacom Edu data bundle. And we will also be also generating, you know, Microsoft Office. And we, you know, we have made Microsoft Office for Education available for free globally. And basically, students, schools, and, you know, and learners will have access to Office 365 for Education. This is cloud-based, and they will have tools and applications. But I think even more importantly is the Teams portion, whereby we will be able to provide online classrooms and bring together, you know, face-to-face connections, and where they can submit, you know, assignments, assessments, and all their files all in a single place. I think what's important to emphasize about this announcement as well is that as Microsoft, we will be providing Vodacom education partners with the necessary resources to make sure that they train our teachers so that they can effectively use the technology, because it, I think we are what we're trying to do is to make sure that there needs to be a seamless experience digitally, almost as if it is in the classroom, because we want to ensure that, you know, students continue to stay engaged and connected to their learning experience. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, we have an amazing opportunity to transform and transition traditional learning. And this will give us an opportunity to reimagine how education should be delivered, you know, in our country. And we will have an impact on young lives and at the same time also prepare them for the future of work.
On that as well, do you think education will see... do you see education sort of getting to that point? Because earlier on you spoke about in the world of work, we're likely to see a hybrid model of in-office versus remote working. Do you sort of see, because I can see the same tension in the education space. So where do you see that going?
So from my point of view, I think that, you know, education is facing an unprecedented time right now in our country. And we've seen the impact of that on learners and on our educators in the country. And the pandemic has almost made, you know, the case for change, right? It has elevated the importance of digital platforms and also perhaps the need to assess new models for learner engagement. In fact, I want to quote Andreas Schleichner. He's the head of education for the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and recently said, and I quote, "It is a great moment for learning. Real change takes place in deep crisis. We will not stop the momentum that will build." And there's also, a belief from educators around the globe that there's perhaps a need for us to engage learners in a very different way. And it's important that we continue to empower them with the skills that is actually needed for the future of work. And I think we have an opportunity right now to actually make the transition.
So on a last point around this education thing is how people have sort of been, some people have actually taken this time to upskill themselves, actual working individuals, either going online to upskill themselves and the like. And I understand LinkedIn, I don't know if a lot of people actually know this, that LinkedIn is part of the Microsoft family. So what are you guys doing in that space in terms of, skills and that sort of thing?
We actually made an exciting announcement last week, the 30th of June, and this is our Global Skills Initiative aimed at helping 25 million people worldwide acquire digital skills needed in, a COVID-19 economy. And basically, we will be focusing on three things. And as you rightly mentioned, we will be combining our existing and new resources, such as LinkedIn, GitHub, as well as, Microsoft Learn, which is also one of our resources. So we will focus on, using data to identify what are the in-demand jobs and, the skills needed to fulfill them. Number two, we will give people access to learning paths as well as content to help them develop these skills. And number three, we will give them access to low-cost certifications as well as free job-seeking tools, to help them ultimately find these jobs. We are partnering with a few nonprofit organizations and providing them with, financial grants. Because we realize that there is a need for people to upskill, to reskill. And this is beyond just addressing, just the need that we see for people to transition into new jobs. But this is also about creating what we call, learner mindset and making sure that people continue to reskill and upskill themselves, as many jobs in the world are requiring people more and more to have deep technology skills.
So that was us with Lillian Barnard, who is the managing director at Microsoft South Africa, just telling us just around how they've been able to continue doing business during this time of COVID-19. She was just highlighting the fact that they've actually been working with a number of partners to give technology and allow for either health workers, the government itself, educators, and private businesses to actually continue doing business, also helping healthcare people to actually continue doing their work, especially in this time when people are looking for, are doing a lot of testing, people are trying to stay safe, people are looking for solutions to this issue that is affecting all our lives. And then she also just gave us some very mind-boggling numbers around some of the demand that they've seen for some of their platforms, specifically Microsoft Teams, which is being used. I think she said something about 4 billion meeting minutes, which, just trying to comprehend that is just something else. 200 million Teams participants in a day, which is actually quite huge. Also, just talking about how they're thinking about education, she's saying that this is likely going to be a moment that actually helps to shift or to reimagine how people actually deliver education. And a lot of that is going to be technology based. So that's it on that end. Just I'm actually thinking about it right now, Lillian. I understand you guys are bringing more Surface products into South Africa. As a geek, I'm actually quite excited about this, where there's the Surface tablet, the Surface book, stuff like that. What's happening there?
Thank you. A lot of our Surface fans are actually quite, excited about the announcement, and I posted this on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago that we are bringing the current Surface portfolio to South Africa by the end of this year. And there's a lot of excitement in the market about this, and more news to follow on this one.
This is Modiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating conversation with Lillian Barnard at Microsoft. I really enjoyed that. Just hearing about what the technology is actually being used for. As I said, I am a geek at heart. So, very excited when we hear some of these how technology is actually being used out there. For me, there were two key takeaways. The first one, just putting some numbers around some of the demand that we keep hearing about, because in the last 2 to 3 months, we've heard about the rise of online video conferencing platforms like Zoom. Zoom has been somewhat of a clear winner in terms of this, is in terms of, some of the growth and stuff like that. But Microsoft Teams has also experienced a lot of growth during this time, a lot of demand. And when Lillian actually starts telling us about what that's actually looking like in terms of the numbers, the participants, the number of organizations that are using it, the number of employees, the fact that Accenture on its own is at 500,000 users that are using, Teams, stuff like that sort of begins to make concrete in your mind what it actually means when we say that there has been a rise in online video conferencing and stuff like that. And also just talking about the fact that Teams itself is enabling a lot of meetings to happen, and it also shows you just how much time people are spending meeting virtually, because the 4 billion minutes meeting minutes number that she gave, sort of, it's a mind-boggling number, because I don't even know what that actually means in terms of days, in terms of hours or years. But that's a lot of time that people are spending, and it actually gives you an idea of the shift that's going on. The second one, and it's related to the same shift, is the debate around education, because there's been a lot that's been said about whether or not people are going to go back to offices and the future of work. But I think a big one at this time will be what is going to be the future of education, especially where technology is involved. Are we going to see our kids going to return to 5 days of going to class? Is there going to be a hybrid where you go to class maybe, 2 to 3 times a week, and then the other days you're doing perhaps online, learning, teaching and courses? Because when I was in university, we did a lot of, electronic, a lot of electronic class, but a lot of it was supported by the physical aspect, because it sort of ran in parallel. But right now, it doesn't seem as if running in parallel is a thing anymore. You sort of have to sort of run in conjunction or have some type of a hybrid. So it would be exciting to see what the education space is going to be looking like. But also, just given some of the socioeconomic issues that are involved in a country like South Africa, access to data, who has computers, who has smartphones, who has stable internet connections, the cost of those stable internet connections, the safety of your devices in your neighborhoods. Because it's nice to say that you have a laptop, but do you feel safe having this equipment, at your house? Because we all know what crime in South Africa looks like. So all of these issues sort of come to the fore when you actually think about it. So I'm quite excited to see what the education space is going to be looking like in the next maybe 18 to 24 months, for example, especially when we've said that we've put a lid on COVID-19. Are learners going to still go back? What is the actual value of having a, physical lecture, the interaction with classmates and stuff like that? I think in the corporate space or in the working life, the dynamics are a bit different. But when it comes to education, how are educators going to be thinking about that? So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And then remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Willie Wagavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.